rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, hello, hello. Yes, Lou? You were going to say something, Lou? You're gonna...
Is it completely different?
It is completely different, Lou. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and I'm going to sneak in on the mic, and hopefully that'll make it sound not so whiny in the background. I am Dutch Jones. It is Monday the... What is today? The 7th? No. Today is the 24th already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, the 24th of January, 2001. I get this itty-bitty little calendar right in front of me. That's kind of nice. I like that. 2011, and this is live right now at 5:02 p.m. Pacific Time, which means if you call the number I'm about to give you, get your crayons ready, you'll be live on the air. If you call any other time, it's just repeating and replaying and going out into the ether and spreading the good word via my ugly spokeshole to the people that will listen. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. I had a blast from the past that I want to talk about before we get into the weirdness that is the world today and sharing with you the Christian militant separatist worldview. And you can mix those words around depending on which way I'm looking at it. We are not racist. We are not racial separatists. We are not national socialists. We are Christians who believe in liberty for all men and women of every race, creed, and color. Not sexual orientation. You have to be heterosexual. Okay? So, just the way it goes. I got some weird letters from some log cabin Republicans that said they liked me, and I'm like, really? I don't like you. This radio show started back in the 90s. It started because a Christian music store called Back Porch Music in Moreno Valley, California. You're kicking your microphone there, Lou. In Moreno Valley, California, Back Porch Music, run by a family with the last name of Izzy, I-Z-Z-I. Sherry Izzy, her husband Nick Sr., and her son Nick Jr. Nick Jr. was someone that I met through the store and became really good friends with. And they hosted a radio show on KHPY that I did. K-Happy. KHPY. It was a 50,000-watt AM radio station that blared out across the Inland Empire in Southern California, where I talked about survival preparedness. But I wasn't a Christian at that time. They were Christians. Back Porch Music was Christians, and they were one of the stepping stones that the Lord put in my way to get me to become a Christian. So the show didn't have any Christian tone to it at all, except for the fact that Sherry and Nick would come in and be on the show, and they would discuss things with me, or they would call in, and we would do this show. And we had a lot of fun doing it. And I ran into her again today, to Sherry, on Facebook. I just something reminded me of Nick. And I've told the story of Nick Izzy, my friend. He was an individual that I was a hunting buddy. I was in his marriage party, whatever you call that, the groomsman. Spent a lot of time together prepping for Y2K. We had animals together on his little ranch that he had up in Pigeon Pass. And one day he shot himself in the foot while shooting gophers or prairie dogs or what do you guys call them up here, ground squirrels. And 22 hang fired, and he ended up shooting himself in the foot, and he had some nerve damage, and he had to go into Loma Linda Medical Center to get his foot fixed. While he was in there having some non-life-threatening stuff done to his person, he caught flesh-eating bacteria, virus. I can't remember if it's a bacteria or virus, to be honest with you, but he caught it on his hip. They didn't catch it right away. Two other people caught it from the same room. And they caught theirs in time to save them and just having to remove chunks of flesh. But Nick lost his limbs and eventually his life. And the last time I saw him, regrettably, he looked as if he had been set upon by an angry troll with a sword. He was just cut to pieces. And I'm still very angry at the Seventh-day Adventist. It was Loma Linda Medical Center, supposedly the greatest hospital in the state. And he died about 3 years ago. And I'm finding out today from his mother that the hospital is yet to settle up. We know that it was their fault. We have nurses' testimony and things like that. But it's another reason for me to hate the Seventh-day Adventist cult. But it was good to hear from Sherry. She's not listening because she's actually in a vehicle. She was texting me as she was going. She's going to listen to the replay, Sherry. So if I got any of that wrong, just send me an email and I'll correct all of it. But it is good to hear from you again, Sherry. And I'm glad she's a teacher at Woodlake Christian Academy down there in Southern California in Riverside County. Teaches music. Beautiful woman. Great, great Christian woman. And was a key figure in me becoming a Christian because I thought all Christians were passive and stupid and crutch people and didn't do anything. But when I met the Izzy family, they were hunters, they were survivors, they knew how to laugh and have fun. They were not uptight Christians like I had run into before. And then within a year after meeting them, I became a Christian, not through specifically because of them, but you know what I'm saying? They were part of the flow that Jesus put me in, and it led me along the way till I found New Song Christian Church in Rancho Cucamonga. Audio level is a little low on Ustream. Why don't you do something, Lou? Are you looking at the words or are you just sitting there? I can bring it up a little. Bring it up on my end here. I'll bring it up right here. So you folks tell me how that sounds. We're still playing with the soundboard here. We are really, really enjoying Ustream. Anyway, just say a prayer for my friend Izzy that I don't want to say vengeance, that justice be done in the death of her son and my good friend. So we're here, and we're on Ustream now, and people are having trouble getting here. I like to direct people to the page rather than to Ustream, mostly because I want to be able to count how many people are actually listening, and we have a good counter on our page, and I can see how many people are hitting the page. And the reason we have to see how many people are hitting the page is because we're trying to get people to sponsor this show. If we can get some kind of business, you know, legitimate business, survival store, whatever, to sponsor the show, I've got to be able to tell them, hey, look, we get 40 people a day listening. Hey, we get, you know, we average this much per month. Then I can put a price on what it is. And, of course, we don't know exactly how many people listen because, you know, when it goes out over Liberty Tree Radio and you know, the different people like Scotty and folks that redistribute it, and then the great work of Olima, which I think Olima hasn't signed in yet because we don't see her in the room. I don't know if you guys see her, but I don't. But Olima, if you're there, thank you. And, you know, email us. We'll help you get signed in so you can continue to participate. We miss your participation, but I see that you're still recording them and uploading them. Great, fantastic, wunderbar. Because the people that listen on the podcast is a great resource, too, for us to get the message out. And we do that. Now, there were some mailings made today. What's he called? The Rabbi. His package went out. And then Minuteman's package went out. And then Hellbilly's package went out. So you'll be getting your copies of Patriots on video audio disc. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a video disc with a picture of the cover of the book, and then you can play it and, you know, do your vacuuming, clean your guns, and listen to the book. I need to do it again because I really want to do it, and I just don't have time to read the book again. Although what happens if I start reading Patriots, I don't put it down, and for like 3 days I don't do anything. I just sit in my chair in my pajamas and read the book. It says right here on this page for your last show you had 213 views. Yep, that's great. That's wonderful, 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 wonderful. I think more people actually listen. I think that if you don't sign in, if you're just a guest, it doesn't get counted, stuff like that. So, yeah, 213 is a good number. I like that. I'm getting a message here. Let's see what this is from. Made some new friends today on Facebook. Made some new enemies. Remember, we are on Facebook. If you want to befriend us, go to Facebook, type in Dutch Jones, you'll find me. I am a lot more aggressive on Facebook than you would think. I anger everyone, it seems, a little bit of the time. I've got some old friends that are now liberals that won't listen to the show. But when I make comments about stuff, they're like, I can't believe you said that. How could you say that? I said, well, I see things through a different glass than you do, obviously. So Facebook is a great tool. They continue to let me stay on there. While other people are being deleted, they don't delete me, which means they probably either haven't noticed me yet or they're using me. But that's okay. That's okay. Let's see. Some of the stuff in the news today. Of course, of course, of course, the terrible bombing at the Moscow airport. If I don't have TV. I've just been hearing about it on radio and reading about it on the web. another attack by Islamo-fascists, you know, and Moscow, Russia, the government in Russia has had an ongoing battle with Chechnya. We used to back the Muslims in Chechnya. When I say we, I mean the United States Defense Department, until 9/11, and then we stopped backing them because we're like, hey, maybe you Russians are right. Maybe these Muslims are terrible people. But because they were an enemy of Russia, we supported them. And although the fighting has stopped in Chechnya, Chechnya is one of those breakaway republics. Remember how after the Iron Curtain fell, all these little groups broke away, you know, little countries in Eastern Europe, and they were like, hey, we don't want to be commie anymore. We don't want to be Russian anymore. We want to become our own countries. The problem with Chechnya is that there's natural resources there that Russia still wants. So they kept a pressure on them. A little war broke out. They quelled them, but the Al-Qaeda, Taliban types, I don't even know, they probably have their own name from that location, have decided to keep fighting. They've done terrible things like destroy, you know, schools in Russia and butcher little children and blow up little kids. They've gone into movie theaters and set off bombs and killed innocent bystanders. So again, just another example of what happens when Muslims don't get their way. So hopefully when you're watching this horrific images unfold from this airport in Russia, you're taking them to heart. You're saying every time I'm in a public place, this is a possibility. Every time our government lets one more Muslim in, we're that much closer to this happening here. Now, we don't have as much of a, what's the word I'm looking for? The atmosphere is not the same here as it is in Russia when it comes to this. But they're just as angry and filled with hate at us as they are Russia. Even though Russia's been supplying most terrorist groups around the world with everything they need to attack other groups, it's just kind of weird. It's just the way the wicked web is spun. So take it to heart, folks. Next time you're in an airport or something, you know, I'm not saying avoid the world. No, that's not what I'm saying, but keep your eyes open and be ready. And if you're lucky enough to survive the blast, you better have yourself together and skills together to get yourself and your loved ones out, or start lending aid to those that are around you where continued training and this type of thing matters. Always having a warrior mindset. It won't save you from the radical, you know, attempt that just the numbers combine together and it's your time. But if you're on the peripheral and you survive with the ability to ambulate out of the area, the skills that you have today are going to make a big decision on whether or not you and others survive. So luck has a big part of it, but after luck, it comes down to skill. Just stupid, dumb luck. Standing next to the wrong, you know, guy with a suitcase in the wrong place, you could be vaporized in a second. But if you're 100 yards away, you may be the one that goes in and saves some lives. It's about saving lives. That's what it's all about, what we do here. And, you know, we here in the militia movement, it's about saving lives. So it's not about blowing stuff up and breaking things. That's what the Army does. The militia is about saving lives, protecting property, and spreading truth and justice and being vigilant in your community and saving your neighbors. So use this as a gut check. You know, I've got people attacking me on Facebook because I'm so militant. They're like, oh, you're just a wannabe A-team guy. You're just this. I'm like, fine, call me whatever you want. But odds are you're a cyber puke and you'd run crying, you know, wetting yourself the first time you ever saw danger. I've been tested. And 90% of the time I do the right thing because I've got trained and I rely on that training. 10% of the time I've frozen. I'm being honest with you. There's a couple times I'm like, holy crud, what was that? And I curl up in a ball and go, mommy, mommy, mommy. It happens to everybody sometime. But the fact of it is, if you don't have any training, it's going to be the other way around. 90% of the time, you're going to curl up into a ball and wet yourself and soil your little underoos that your wife gives you that doesn't shouldn't tell anybody else about that you're wearing Aquaman underoos. They even make those in adult sizes, Lou?
I don't know.
Well, what are you wearing? What underoos are you wearing right now? Are you still wearing the Wonder Woman underoos? Because I'm not going to have that.
I don't have any underoos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boxers or briefs. So, but folks, just take these indicators as a thing to notice. And then we got a bunch of email. And I'm not going to play the audio, but here's what's happening. FEMA has been on a mad dash for the last few weeks to buy all of the long storage food and seeds they can. They've been buying millions of dollars a day in freeze dried food, MREs. Seed vaults that they can buy. Now, there's several reasons why they would be doing this. And these are what I think they're doing. They're doing it to keep them out of your hands. They're doing it to stockpile, locate centrally so that they can redistribute them in a disaster, which would be kind of their role, but not really their role, because that's not, when I was with FEMA, they didn't store food. They kept food available that they could bring in. And two, the other thing is to run the price up. Running up the price, or maybe they're keeping it for their own folks. I don't know. But keep an eye on it. Start looking at the prices, seeing if they're being manipulated. I don't buy a lot of long storage food. We just buy regular food, store it, and rotate it because it's a lifestyle for us. It's not like we stick a nest egg somewhere and then don't look at it ever again. It's like every month we move food, but we always have a three-month supply of food because that's just the nature of our disaster plan, our emergency plan. So FEMA's been doing that. Let me get back to my main page here so I can see some of the new stuff I've been posting here. And again, if you want to call in, 559-561-8225. Oh, and this figures. It's not going to show me everything that I stayed today. Okay. I already talked about the airport. And the funny thing about the airport is foreign outlets are saying that the death toll's like 100. American outlets are saying that it's like 30 dead and 128 wounded or something on that Russian thing. So if you see something else, let me know. Post it in the room. Right now I'm on my Facebook page. I'm trying to get to the news articles I posted, and my computer is just running slow. Let me find the ones I wanted to. Oh, here's something that's kind of weird. McDonald's announced today that due to higher beef prices, they're going to be raising the prices of their meals. This surprises me in two reasons, two levels. One, I didn't realize McDonald's actually used beef in anything they made. Because every time I eat like one of the McDonald's dollar burgers, because sometimes that's all we got, I get violently ill. So I just assumed it was like rat meat and soy or something. And two, when I looked at what their profit margins were, they went up like by 4% last year. They grew by 4%, but food costs went up by 2%. So they still have a net gain of 2% growth. Why do they have to... Anyway, it's a corporate thing, but be looking. The dollar meal is going to go up probably to $1.50 meal, and if you live in New York, the $1.50 meal is going to go to like a $2.50 meal.
We'll have to eat at one of the fancy restaurants like AW.
Yeah, we'll have to eat at AW because it's cheap enough. Woo! Hello, you're live with Dutch Jones. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Worland.
Hey, Worland, what do you want to talk about today?
Oh, I don't know anything comes to mind here. Well,
you call. Tell me what's on your mind. I'm not a mind reader.
Okay. Cynthia McKinney had some interesting video on YouTube. This was posted in the LTR chat room. I'm not sure how old it is. It says it was like, Anna said 2008. But, anyway, she was talking about 5,000 prisoners died during Katrina, and they were taken on shock.
Really?
Yeah. This is really interesting.
I hadn't heard that one. Were they were the, you said, okay, prisoners during Katrina, were these people that were in custody before it, or were these like the refugees that were taken while they were conducting looting and things like that?
I guess they were like prisoners that were, you know, incarcerated before the storm.
Wow. They probably left them behind in the jails and prisons down there, and then, they just died of neglect, you know.
It kind of reminded me of the movie Brubaker. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I did, but it's not solid in my mind.
Well, it had to do with a prison warden that was killing off his prisoners.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that was kind of a bombshell.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. Let me turn down your mic and move your Lou. Move your microphone away from the desk. Okay, stop. Okay, there we go. Now it won't bang. There's a lot. I could build a career just on the weirdness that happened during Katrina, the gun confiscation, the police going willy nilly and killing and looting people. I saw something today that you mentioned it, and because I brought up, like, they go, the federal government will never confiscate our guns. I said they did during Katrina. Oh, that wasn't the federal government, that was the local police. I'm like, no, the 82nd Airborne is not the local police.
Right, yeah, it was the feds that came in and took the guns.
Yeah, and the police worked with them because, you know, they're corrupt. Everybody knows that New Orleans Police Department is the most corrupt police department, maybe second only to Chicago. But New Orleans is not a place you want to be.
It's a toss-up, yeah.
Yeah, between the two. I mean, when you have the city attorney being arrested for child molestation and he has over 300 videos of it and he doesn't get convicted, it's not a place for the just and the honest.
Right. Yeah. New Orleans has always been bad.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're just seeing more moves. Katrina was the test site to see what Americans would tolerate. They literally were doing a socio-psycho test on America. They had a plan for Katrina. I know they do. I worked for FEMA. I saw the plan of evacuation. They did not implement one-tenth of it. Their plan was to see how much pressure they could put on human beings and that what they would tolerate, what they could get away with. And guess what? Human beings will take a lot of garbage before they stand up on their own 2 feet and demand justice. That's what they taught them.
Bodies in the street. I mean, that's horrible when corpses are just left in the street.
They wanted to see if they could take the, you know, snooty, nose-in-the-air Americans, even the lowest American is uptight compared to the third world, and see if they could treat them like a third world nation, and sure enough, they all regress back to that animalistic, give me food, give me water, you can do anything to me. Here, take my child, I don't care, just give me shelter. And they just wanted to see if they could do that, and now they know they can. Granted, the population demographics of Katrina, and I'm not being racist here, were highly African-American at that time. Now it's Hispanic. A lot of Hispanics have moved in. But for some reason, the African-Americans in America have been willing to tolerate that kind of stuff. I think if they try to do that in a more balanced community where there's a lot more middle-class whites and Asians, I don't know if they're going to have as easy a go of it. I think that their findings, they may be basing too much on a flawed sampling is what I'm trying to say, if that gets out. That I think if they try that, say, on Denver, they're going to have a fight on their hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Or
Northern California, oh, you bet there would be a fight.
Yeah. Los Angeles, I mean, the ingrained crime in Los Angeles is going to be a nightmare for FEMA to handle. It's going to look more like Bosnia than it's going to look like, something in Africa. There's going to be so many different fighting factions in Los Angeles if they come in and they try to do this. That's why I keep telling you folks, the people I love, people that support this show, people that love my family, that live in the L.A. area, you can't stay around. You've got to read the horizon and make sure you get out of there before this nightmare begins. Are we still on the air?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw you popping stuff around.
All right, Dutch. Well, that's about it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you calling in, and I'll look for that Kenny video when I get a chance tonight.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's our Chico correspondent here in California. I don't know if I mentioned it. I'm coming to you from Cahuilla, California. We are, in fact, in Central California behind the lines of the communist, socialist, neo-fascist, state-controlled California. And although we have little victories, the battle is still being fought hard here. And everybody hates California, but that's where the battle is. This is where we need the troops to pour into. You know, we do have a fallback plan, but evil is where it is, and we've got to fight it. We are not going to surrender. Now, don't confuse Cahuilla with San Francisco or Los Angeles. We're a completely different type of people, and we do a completely different type of thing. So they come here and try that Katrina, you know, kind of control stuff. They're going to end up getting shot. You see a blue helmet coming down the one road in here. It's just it's going to be like Leonidas. We're going to pile up so many blue helmeted bodies and so many FEMA bodies that those behind them won't be able to get around them. The only thing bad will be the stench because we've got small little gaps up here that we can control. They'll have to come in by air, and we'll deal with that when that comes to it, but they are not going to take this land without a fight. We're not going to lay down as easily as the people of New Orleans did. I have no respect for the people of New Orleans. Those that left and fought or those neighborhoods that put up barricades and refused to surrender their guns, yeah, I have respect for them. But everybody that went to the Superdome or whatever they call it, the arena that was there and allowed themselves to be locked in there like cattle, I hate to say this, people are going to get mad at me, that was their own fault. That was their own fault. If you can walk, get out of the area. Avoid the scenario, period. You knew a hurricane was coming. You knew a class 5 when it first started. I think it got knocked down to a class 4. There's no reason for that to happen. So we're always eyes wide open here. And if it looked like we were about to be overrun and wiped out, we fall back. We've got fallback positions all the way to Canada, and then we got plans for taking over Canada if we have to. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. We trust in God. We don't trust in chariots or horses. but we still acknowledge that chariots and horses are feasible means of defeating tyranny. We were talking about McDonald's. That's probably all I have to say about that. It's just funny that one of the largest corporations in the world is saying they have to up their food prices because they didn't have like a gigantic profit. They didn't take a loss. They just didn't have a gigantic profit. I know people that have worked for McDonald's. They're just like another Walmart. Sub wages, no benefits until you've been there forever. So I'm not a big fan of McDonald's. I say go to Wendy's. Arby's is having trouble. Arby's and Wendy's are splitting up? Yeah, Arby's and Wendy's are under the same corporate umbrella, and they're cutting them off. Oh, A&W and Arby's. Well, either way, you know, we don't eat out of much because we don't have the money, but when we do, we either go to A&W or Wendy's. That's our choice. Sometimes Carl's Jr., but those of you not in California know that is a Hardee's. Hardee's in California is Carl's Jr. for some reason, the same food. But we don't spend a whole lot on fast food. So it wouldn't kill me if McDonald's went under, other than I'd feel bad about all the people that lost their jobs. A lot of shootings involving cops in the last few days. We had that one in Florida that I talked about where a guy in an attic took out two cops before they took him out, and then they had to punch a hole through the wall with a car to get the wounded cops out. And then a guy walks into a Detroit police department, does his version of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, walks up to the front desk, starts shooting people. He hits four people, or at least wounds four people, and then is killed himself. And they have not described, at least as far as I know, and if you know about it, I want you to tell me, the makeup of the shooter. Was he an African-American? Was he a Caucasian-American? Did he have a big T-shirt on that said, I love Sarah Palin? Whatever the truth is, I want to know. Which was weird is this guy obviously wasn't trained because he shot them in the chest, and all the cops in Detroit probably wear three layers of body armor. So I don't know what his cause was, but I can't appreciate this, and this is going to get me into some trouble. I would much rather he go into a police department and start shooting up police in a place like Detroit than going into a shopping mall and shooting little kids. I'm just throwing that out there. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what his motivation was. He's probably a scum-sucking socialist or something, or a hippie, or who knows what. But I don't get that upset when people go after cops. Let's put it this way. How do I put this politically? It's a justifiable and understandable target. It is not civilians. It is not terrorism when you go after cops, paramilitary units, political entities that are controlling things that are making our lives miserable. Those are not acts of terrorism. Acts of terrorism when you go into a Burger King and shoot everybody up, you go into a church and blow people up. So with that, we're going to take a break here. And remember, go to dutchjones.tk. Snoo, I said it wrong. dutchjones.info. dutchjones.info. There is a chip in there. We need your financial support. It says $50. It needs to be a lot higher than that. We'll be back after the break.
Sisters of the Second Amendment say self-defense is a basic right. Hunters and first responders, we keep firearms at our side. Why are law-abiding citizens forced to keep our guns locked away? All it does is make it harder to keep our homes and loved ones safe. So tell us, why are guns to blame again for the violence in our lives? It's the criminals with their twisted minds. Another gun law will keep them in line. Like corn and other rifles, for them it's live free or die. While they protect us on the front lines, we'll trust in God to keep our powder dry. The tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Woe be unto those who try to confiscate our guns, as written in the Second Amendment for the security of a free state. A well-regulated militia is needed to keep our country safe. That right can't be infringed upon. Our founders have foreseen. When the people fear governments, you know it's called. tyranny. Progressives, they want to change our country under the guise of making it fair. We know it's all about control. It's just an act when they say they care. Now the warning shots have been fired. The battle has just begun. Through all those secret backdoor deals, they are aiming for our guns. Like Horde and Love, the rifles, for them it's live free or die. We're united to defend our freedom. We'll trust in God but keep our powder dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Woe be unto those who try to confiscate our guns. Just as a faithful quorum swears a solemn creed in defense of this great nation, stand his rifle and he. We are all obliged to defend her. Our Constitution decrees we will stand as one, united against foreign and domestic enemies. Like Portland, know the rifles, for them it's live free or die. We're united to defend our freedom. We'll trust in God to keep our powder dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Woe be unto those who try to confiscate our guns. There'll be no mercy for the fool who tries to confiscate my guns. Oh yeah.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, folks, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Don't you take it down. I'll take it down. Leave that level at the same. You do that every... Here, click to the head. Click to the head. Click to the neck. I control the audio. I control the horizontal, unlike Outer Limits. The Twilight Zone and Outer Limits mix. This is the Dutch Jones radio experience coming to you on Stronghold Radio from the quaint little teeny tiny village of Kauia. And we found some new music for bumper music. So we're going to be playing with it. Lou's going to be playing with it, and hopefully we'll get it to where we sound a little more professional, so we can get more stations to pick us up. So as we continue through, during the break, we were talking about food, and I'm not even hungry. I had like 2 peanut butter sandwiches before I came in, and now Stacy's all hungry, talking about square hamburgers and all the political stuff and spiritual stuff we talk about. People remember the food. Did you stop it, Lou? Okay. Bringing it back up there, and I want to bring up your mic so people can hear you belch and whatever as you down food. People are saying Lou needs to chew before he eats. Somebody typed, you should have seen him eat waffles today. It was funny. Stacy and I eat waffles. We put the plates away, everything, and Lou goes, I got syrup all over me. And I'm like, well, if you didn't eat like an animal, you know, he inhaled these waffles, and he's like, yeah, and he insisted on naming them and eating them. He just kept saying, looking at him and going, "You're Alfred Waffle and you're Sigmund Waffle, and I'm going to turn you into poo."
Did not.
And then he got syrup all over him, and he's gonna get ants. That's all I have to say. You're gonna get ants. You're gonna get ants, and it's gonna be terrible. we are doing the best we can with what we've got here. And oh, I got messages coming in. Listen to the second hour of the intelligence reports in the afternoon. Mark makes it interesting. Okay. Warren is just telling me to make sure I listen to the second hour of the intelligence report. I'll try to. I always forget to listen. Usually what happens is Minuteman calls me in the morning, gives me a synopsis of what happens on there. And he gives me the good stuff. And just because of bandwidth, I can never listen to it. Okay, where was I here? Did I put a Dutch Jones? Close this. Oh, now I got to redo all this. I lost everything. Where did it go? Wee, scrolling down. I posted some good stuff on the Facebook page. In fact, I'll just repost it now. Squad tactics for military.com. There we go. Hang on.
They're infant squad tactics.
Yeah, they're infant-type tactics. Infantry. I used to know why they called it infantry. I got to remember that one. Let me post this in the chat room for you guys. This is a good little thing here, and this is a good point for me to bring this up. Not this coming Sunday. Those of you that attend church here at the Church of Cahuilla are looking for a reason to come. The next Sunday is going to be the... what's going to be... Yeah, I know, I got to flip it up. The next Sunday is going to be the 30th. So the 6th. The 6th of February. February 6th. 6th February, the day after the women's pistol class. After church, we're going to have squad tactics refresher. What we're going to do is those of us that attended the training a couple months ago, me, Lewis, Frank, the pastor, maybe Stacy if she wants to help out, we're just going to get some sticks, no fancy gear needed, and we're going to show you the peel off, the bounding overwatch, peel left, peel right, and how a squad reacts to an aggressor, how a squad attacks to an ambush. We're going to go out on the field and do it. We're going to demonstrate it. We're going to get everybody that's... If we got somebody in a wheelchair, we're going to give them a stick and somebody to push them, and we're going to do it because we need to start training our support personnel in the things that we're learning. So that's February 6th, 2011. You come to church with us. You eat with us. And afterwards, we're going to hit the field, and we're going to show you guys some basic squad reactionary drills. What I'm going to do is next Sunday, I'm going to find some stuff on the online, and I'm going to make some diagrams and hand them out next Sunday so people have a little bit of a heads up. And this is one of those things where we need participation for it. So I was looking for stuff online today on how to do infantry small unit movements, and I found this thing here in military.com, the forums that I just posted, and Lou's looking at it right now. He's all happy. But it's a nice little link explaining small squad tactics. And as always, we've got to keep up on these skills. And don't forget, Saturday, February 5th, we're having the women's class, pistol introductory class, real basic, nice refresher if you've had a couple other classes. Contact me if you're interested. Don't forget about it. No, that won't be $100. The one I'm talking about, squad tactic stuff, we're just going to do it for free. It's only going to be like 2 hours. We're going to play around. We're going to show. It's going to be a fun little thing just to show people. We're not going to charge people $100 to do it. We paid for it out of our pockets. Those of us that went to the class, Minuteman, as you remember, there were only about 7 or 8 of us, I think, that were in that class, Minuteman. The pictures of it are floating right up now on Ustream. Well, not all of them, but you can see how many people showed up right now up. You see Stacy there in the front and Lou and people behind me. But we're just trying to do what we can with what we've got. And what made us think about it is when we were talking about Lexington and Concord the other day with Practical Christianity a little bit, and we always, seems like we always tap on it because it's a key moment in our nation's history, of course. The militia didn't get there right away. There was the alarm squad. Now, you know the militia, depending on the age group, say 15 to 45. Well, I can tell you, in a couple days, that does me out. I'll be 45 and, you know, or 44. Yeah, I'll be 45, and I'm out of shape. I'm not really militia quality because of injuries and things I've done to my body, but blunt force trauma because of gravity, those kind of things. But there are those of us that can do something to stand in the gap until the militia gets there. So we need to train everybody how to do this stuff. That's why we're sending our women to a pistol class. That's why we're going to start holding free classes here every month on how to do these things. And I got to make sure I contact people that weren't in church on Sunday to let them know about it. So there's a couple church members listening. I know they are. Make sure you let people know, you know, the 6th of February is going to be a all-in training. So it'll be fun. Rain or shine, rain or shine. So don't forget about that. Because people are always saying they want training. I offer it, and then nobody shows up. But it's really, you know, we had a really nice thing happen. Remember I told you we did our CERT training a couple weeks ago? And we had, I don't know, maybe 5 or 7 people from the community show up, most of them young people. 2 of the young men came back this Sunday and came to church and sang, fellowshipped, had all kinds of questions, you know. And, of course, they're 18 years old. And it turns out they're in a Christian band, and I forgot the name of the Christian band. Does anybody remember it? And I'm sorry.
I don't know.
They're like in a Christian rock band, and they're supposed to get me some recordings, and we'll play them on here. They're 2 nice young men, and very interested in what we're doing. They even helped wash dishes after the pitch-in dinner. And I'm not going to give their names because they live in the community. So it's nice to know that it did a double duty. I'm trying to train my church family, and it's also a ministry, and we'll see what God does with it. So 2 young men came back. One guy is a towering Scottish guy with red hair and an outrageous set of sideburns, so I kind of relate to that guy, although I'm not towering. And the other guy was just a nice, he looked like a young man, you know, he wore a motorcycle jacket, but he said he was singing the sermon or the songs and the hymns, and it seemed like it was nice. It was a great sermon, too, because they were talking about when Solomon took over after David, and some of the house cleaning he had to do and some of the justice he had to use the sword for going out and killing the people that had attempted coups against his father, David. So it was a nice sermon for them to get a nice meat and potatoes militant Christian sermon. And if, you know, God does those kind of things. And even if it had been a salvation or a grace-based, it still would have been good. But it was nice to see these young men interested in it. And they had all kinds of questions about militia and training and that kind of stuff. And if I can use that to get them the gospel, I will. Because the gospel is the important thing. The other stuff, you know, is extra. I mean, what good does it do if you survive and live if you're not living eternally, right? If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, it matters nothing what we do here on this planet. I don't care if I can save 1 million people from the New World Order. If not one of them is saved eternally by Jesus Christ, it matters not. So it's just the way it goes. It's part of the struggle. So be thinking of that while you guys are doing this kind of stuff. And I got a really nice email from Michigan Mike. He was asking how I was doing, and he said something that I'm sure he just kind of he wrote it out there, but it really boosted me today and motivated me to do a good job and everything that I do in this in the radio show and in the training. He said a lot of people are listening to me. And are listening to what I'm saying and putting it to work, something like that. And it really helped me. So, Mike, if you're listening, I know you listen on the replay. So thank you for that nice word. And of course, Mary's always sending us words of encouragement. Minuteman's always talking to us almost daily. And Warlin and all you guys, every one of you, that all play your part in this and spreading this word. Because it's not about me. I mean, sure, I can make it entertaining and funny and that kind of stuff, but the real thing is that it's the message that counts. So if I disappear and Lou takes over the microphone and he's just going, okay, what you guys need to do is... Then it's fine. As long as the message is getting out and hopefully people will continue to listen. Will you, if I get taken out, Lou, will you stand up and take over? Would you?
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? You know all this stuff, too. You see all the same stuff I see. You go through the same trainings I go through. Why couldn't you do it? Carry on the family business. Don't cry. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to make you do it. It's okay.
I'm not crying.
You can go on latrine duty with Rocky.
Hey.
Is Rocky listening? I don't know. I saw Twinkle Toes in there. I'm assuming Rocky's just sitting right next to her. yeah, Minuteman could do it. Warland could do it. You know, we need people to step in. That's why we got to get the network going. We've got to get the network going where you guys do your own shows at different times, because all you got to do is dial in, or, you know, you basically you just sign in, do the password, hit broadcast, right, Lou?
Mm-hmm.
And record and start talking. Read out of a newspaper, read out of a manual. We need more shows on here. I've been pushing people for over a year now to do it. Everybody's like, I'm almost ready. I had a bunch of people said they were going to do it in January. Remember, we were all excited about it. Nobody's come forward. They were all like, I'm going to pay you $100 to put my show on your network. Okay, when can we get together? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Not everybody's, you know, it's easy to want to do it. And I'm not saying they're nefarious at all. That's not it. But it's one thing to want to do it, but then to realize, hey, I got to come up with something to say every single day. For me, it's easy. I've been given the gift of gab. I don't know which spiritual gift that is, you know, technically, but that's what I have. So I'm going to do this. I'd be sitting in front of the mirror doing this if I didn't have the technology to get out to you. Trust me, I would. When I was 10 years old, I was into a tape recorder going, you know, doing bad radio stuff late at night. And then when I found out I could do it over a walkie-talkie, I did that. And then when I found out I could do it over a CB, I did that. Then when I got older and found out you could buy these little radio kits and put them together and do that. And ever since then, it's been just this downward spiral of addiction for me. I'm addicted to radio in some form or another. As I started out the show, I told you folks, I used to be on a 50,000-watt AM radio station. I did commercial radio with commercial, and I had to make it work, and I had to abbreviate what I was saying. So that's why I like pirate radio. That's why I like internet radio. I don't have to abbreviate it. I would not be asleep. I'm the one that gets up early, and you guys are all snoring away. Lou's like a bear in the winter. I don't snore. If I snore, how come I'm asleep? If I was snoring, I'd wake myself up. Let's see here. What else have I got to talk about? Talk about the squad tactics. Stop wiggling your finger. Oh, here's a weird thing that I bet nobody's going to talk about. There's this little old dude in, let me click on this, that was fighting Tyson Chicken. He had 12 acres of chickens. He was raising chickens, and Tyson comes in and says, "We want to buy your chickens." "Okay, yeah, we'd like to buy you. I'd like to sell them to you." "Okay, here's our little agreement." And then they started buying chickens from everybody in the area in this guy's neck of the woods, Tyson. And, of course, those of you that don't know, Tyson is a Clintonista company involved in White...
Aren't they New World Order?
Yeah, Tyson's New World Order stuff. And so once they started buying up all the chickens in the area, they started lowering their prices and using their power to limit what they would... what they would pay for chickens. And this one little farmer, the other chicken farmers, how come if you raise cattle you're a rancher, but if you raise chickens you're a farmer? Are you a chicken rancher? It's kind of confusing. So the Supreme Court on Monday turned down an appeal from former Tennessee poultry farmer who sued Tyson Farms after losing his contract to raise their chickens. The justices did not comment in turning away Alton Terry, who said Tyson cut him off because he helped organize area farmers and complained about the company practices. Lower courts had previously dismissed the lawsuit. Terry essentially argued that he lost his contract to raise chickens on his 12-acre farm because he squawked too much. Terry was a poultry farmer, so he doesn't say rancher, who brought together a group of area farmers and told them they had the right to complain about Tyson's practices. He also raised concerns directly with Tyson among the world's largest companies. See, you can't go up against these guys. Terry said Tyson and other big companies have too much sway over farmers, and federal courts have all bowed to agribusiness interests by setting too high a standard for the farmers to succeed in court. And it's true. It's true. All the justices are bought and paid for politically, and Tyson's right there with their money being handed out. Tyson, a unit of Springdale, Arkansas-based Tyson Foods, Inc., had urged the court to stay out of the lawsuit, arguing that the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals of Cincinnati properly dismissed it. Now, Tyson spokesman Gary Mickelson said the company was not surprised by the high court's ruling. Tyson denied Terry's claim, which we believe would have been ultimately disproven that if the case had gone to trial anyway. So, you can't sue me because we think that you're going to lose because we've already bribed all the judges. That's pretty much what they're saying. Now, the Sixth Circuit Court ruled that Terry not only had to show that he was harmed by Tyson actions, but he also had to prove the company diminished competition by ending Terry's contract and sending a signal to other farmers. Terry didn't even claim anti-competitive behavior by Tyson, much less prove it, the court said. In an earlier stage in the case, the Bush administration agriculture department sided with Terry, however. See, Bush was, you know, playing the other side of the coin. Since Barack Obama became president, however, the USDA has proposed that rules would limit the control of chicken companies have over the farmers who raise birds for them and would make it easier for farmers to file lawsuits under the 90-year-old Packers and Stockyards Act. The proposed changes would make clear that farmers don't need to prove industry-wide anti-competitive behavior to sue under the act. Unfortunately, he filed his suit before Obongo got elected. So he doesn't fall into that, and because the statute and all that stuff, he doesn't get to sue anybody. Now, the USDA is reviewing over 61,000 comments it received about the proposed changes, including opposition from Tyson. The law only prohibits those practices that harm competition, Mickelson said. I'm not going to go into this whole big thing here, but basically what we have is David going up against Goliath, and in this case, David got smashed because Goliath had bribed the judges. The Clintonistas who were behind Tyson, Tyson money got the Clintons elected, Hitlery big into Tyson. You guys know all about that, especially if you've been following this for any amount of time. So it was funny how we're talking about food in the last two stories. You guys getting hungry yet? So it's just agribusiness. And the reason I talk about that is we're right in the middle of it right here. Agribusiness is terrible. That's why they're doing the man-made drought here, so that the big corporations come in and just buy stuff up. Do you know that here in California, the hippies got legislation through that said that if you are a chicken farmer, you have to provide a small condo for each chicken. They have to have room to move. All this stuff, because now they put them in small cages, they pump them full of food. It's not, I don't want to use the word, it's not humane, because they're animals. It's production. It's to feed the world. The United States has gotten to the point where we can produce food faster and better than any other entity in the history of mankind. Now, as long as they're not beating the animals outright and boiling them in acid, I don't care where my chicken came from. I look at a package that says mechanically separated chicken. I get a little amused and go, how do they tear the chicken apart? But what's happening is they're putting all these demands on these small production companies that farm. Sounds like they're picking them out of the ground or off of trees. Farm chickens and saying they have to do all of these things to meet government standards. When the fact of it is they live a short time, they're grown, they get fat, and they're eaten. The animals were put here for us to use. And I don't really care if my chicken got enough exercise or not. I don't care if my chicken had access to a big screen TV or counseling. I prefer free range chicken if I can get it. I don't want all the chemicals and all that. But they're not focusing on the chemicals. They're not focusing on the hormones. They're focusing on the size of the cage here. So what it's doing is it's put a bunch of smaller chicken producers out of business here. Chicken so what happens? The big companies coming to buy them. What'd you say, Liv?
Chicken push-ups. That'll make them strong.
Chicken push-ups?
That'll make them strong.
Yeah, I want you to get our chickens out and teach them all push-ups, Liv.
Okay,
so we get really huge drumsticks. But see, the other way around, rather than that, they just give them steroids. But, I mean, if it was really about the quality of life for the chickens, you know, they'd all be free range. And it goes back to the whole milk question. You know, raw milk, excuse me. Raw milk here in California, you might as well be a Jew during the Nazi period. And they come after you. They will kick in your door in California if they find out you're selling raw milk. They will send in the raw milk SWAT team in California. So I find this humorous that this little guy is trying to sue Tyson because they were pushing all these restrictions on him and telling him they told him the price of chicken, and he gets shot down in the Supreme Court. But yet you come over here to California, and they have Gestapo going out and making sure the chickens have lounges and sofas and recliners in their pens. Weird, weird stuff. And it's either going to put them out of business or raise the price of eggs and chicken products. Go to the store and notice, no, there's no such thing as inflation. Just the prices are going up. We got McDonald's talking about raising their prices. Uh-oh, Lou, bring it. Stop doing what you're doing. Is it still there?
Yeah.
Stop clicking around, Lou. What are you clicking around for anyway?
Trying to get the break ready.
You're getting the break ready? God, it's always something with you. We got a break coming up already? Boy. So, I got to see. People are sending me stuff. What are you sending me? What's this thing called a Trojan horse? Should I click on it?
Yeah.
If you look up the term chicken Sith, you will find a picture of Tyson Foods. Sith. Like Sith Lord. Is this, are we going Star Wars here? I can click that back over. Okay. Dutch, the feed is breaking up. Is that the chicken feed? I don't know. I'm a little confused here. It's okay. See, it's Lou's computer. It just doesn't have enough operating power. We need a better, faster, bigger.
Computer.
We need to get that third computer up here from the church, the other laptop. Let that transmit. You do all the sound and stuff on that one. Sound good? That's what you're gonna have to do, Lou. We're just doing too much with too little now. And unless somebody has a laptop or a PC with a bunch of RAM they want to send us, or just send us RAM. For a PC. Of course, I don't know how to choose it. But they're manipulating the food, folks. That was the theme of the first hour. I forgot to mention that. Food. Food and crime. Food, 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 food. I didn't plan it that way, but that's just the way it was. They're buying up all the survival food. McDonald's is raising their prices. You can't sue food producers now. They can do whatever. The audio feed. it's funny. I do an audio feed all day, and I still don't feel full. There's maybe no calories in the audio feed. Slop into the trough of the audio feed of the Dutch Jones radio program. That's what we're doing. Back off, Lou. Put the spoon and fork away. I was only kidding. It's not real food. Sit back in your chair. Are you blowing a kiss at me?
No.
It sure looks like it.
He's trying to jab me in the throat.
I'm going to make you sit way over there. We're going to set this all up, and you're going to be in the corner by yourself from now on. I'll just get a big long pole and poke you when I try to get your attention. The next hour is going to be on Liberty Tree Radio, and we're going to continue talking about whatever it is we talk about. I may whip out some Bible verses or something. yeah, I was going to talk Rahm Emanuel in the next hour, too, and just so you get your heads up, he lost his right to run for mayor of Chicago because he didn't live there prior to, and he's going to take it to the state Supreme Court. I wonder if he'll give back all of the donations he raised. Is he going to use that all that money he raised to fight this? So it's just, all you people who follow these politicians and donate money to them. I know we probably don't have any libtards listening to the show unless they're paid to do it. Your leaders are ripping you off. You're fools. You're stupid. They're muckrakers. They're muck, and they need to be raked up. So. But we're doing the best we can here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Remember, check out the chip-in. We need monetary donations to keep this thing going so we don't break up our signal and so we can go 24 hours a day. We'll be right back.
All quiet along the Potomac tonight, except here in Vera Strait Picket, is shot as he walks on his beat to and fro by a rifleman hid in the thicket. Tis nothing a private or two now and then will not count in the news of the battle. Not an officer lost, only one of the men moaning out all alone the death rattle. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. All quiet along the Potomac tonight, where the soldiers lie peacefully dreaming, and their tents in the rays of the clear autumn moon, and the light of the campfires are gleaming. There's only the sound of the lone sentry's tread as he tramps from the rock to the fountain, and thinks of the two on the low trundle bed, far away in the cot on the mountain. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. His musket falls slack, his face dark and grim, grows gentle with memories tender, as he mutters a prayer for the children asleep, and their mother may heaven defend her. The moon seems to shine as brightly as then, that night when the love yet unspoken leapt up to his lips, and when low murmured vows pledge to be ever unbroken. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Then drawing his sleeve roughly over his eyes, he dashes off the tears that are welling, and gathers his gun close up to his breast, as if to keep down the heart swelling. He passes the fountain, the blasted pine tree, and his footstep is lagging and weary.
Yet onward he goes through the broad belt of light, toward the shades of the forest so dreary. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Hark, was it the night wind that rustles the leaves? Was it the moonlight so wondrously flashing? It looked like a rifle, how merry goodbye, and his lifeblood in ebbing and flashing. All quiet along the Potomac tonight, no sound save the rush of the river, while soft falls the dew on the face of the dead. The picket's off duty forever. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. All quiet along the Potomac tonight.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Government is the
There is
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, 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 yes. And what is completely different about us? Well, one is me. I'm not on any other show, so that would make it different. Two, we are a militant Christian separatist worldview kind of show. And what we're doing here is bringing you the message that comes out of the church at Kuya, from Kuya, California, in Central California, outside the gates of Sequoia National Park. Now, we try to do this live every day, Monday through Friday. Last Friday, we were not live Friday. We did a repeat of the first hour. We do this 2 hours a day from 5 to 7 p.m., and the reason we did that is there was a Right to Life prayer vigil starting at 7, about 40 miles away from here in the city of Visalia. And in order to get there on time and be part of that prayer vigil, which I wanted to be part of because I do believe in the right to life, I am an ardent anti-abortion person. I hate abortion. 40 million deaths is an abomination, and that is one of the reasons why this nation is cursed. And anything I can do to stop abortion, I want to be part of. I don't get a call to do it. There's no abortion clinics around here. The nearest ones are like Bakersfield and Fresno. So I wanted to go support the people who do that by praying for them and praying in precatory prayer against those that murder babies. So we went, and we went last year too, so that's why there was not a live show on Friday. I wanted to get that out of the way. Nothing happened. I didn't get arrested. The power didn't go out. And we are on Ustream now also, and as Ed is in, I assume it's Ed, it says Liberty Tree Radio, notice that we have less dropouts on Ustream. So God kicked us in the head, kept giving us so many problems with U Broadcast, we just turned it off. It's still there. We're not going to stream on it. It's going to have all the old shows. If you want to go there and listen to them there, I don't know why you would. You'd go to the archives that Olima has set up. But there's just no reason to use it anymore, but we're going to keep it in reserve if we need it. If we move to a better location, we'll maybe stream on both of them. But from now on, you're going to be hearing us on Ustream, and I just tell people to go to dutchjones.info, 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 and the player is embedded, and it automatically plays, or they have to click on it, Lou?
Yeah, they have to click on it when it's live.
They have to click on it when it's live?
And then if it's not live, it'll automatically
play. And if it's not live, it'll automatically play. Okay, I don't know why, but okay. So that's what we're going to do. And we're able to put pictures up on this one without crashing, too. I don't know what's different about it. I think the audio sounds better, at least when I listened to the replay of Friday's this morning. The audio was better. If it's distorted or anything, let me know. I'm watching the meter. It's going into the red. So I'm going to turn it down a little bit here because I don't want to be distorted. Nothing bugs me more because in my headphones, you know, the headphone feed off the soundboard, it sounds great. It sounds great in my headphones. Then I listen to the replay. It's all because we don't know what it sounds like because we don't have the bandwidth to listen to it. So I rely heavily on feedback from you folks. Ed saying, good, never drop something that works. If something happens, you can always just get it back up. That's right. We can always do that. So we're going to keep it in reserve. Two people can listen to it at a time right now over there on UBroadcast. If people want to listen to the old shows, that's good. But and as I get used to the interface here with Ustream, I just don't like the interface. I don't know. I was more comfortable with UBroadcast, but that's not important. Lou's the one that's got to learn it. And like you said, we've had one dropout before the show went on the air. We always come on a half an hour when we start our two-hour broadcast and play music to test everything. And it's only had one dropout. You know, I shouldn't say that, but that's just, you know, who knows? Murphy may jump in there. So, but we went to this Right to Life prayer meeting last year. Let's see. Okay, Warland's asking a question here. I have a question. What do you say to libtards that say a woman has the right to choose? I say a rapist has the right to choose, too. So if he chooses to rape you, is that justified? And they usually cringe up, and they don't know what to do. I said, murder is murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. It's in the Decalogue, and period. That's it. So when a woman tells me that a woman has a right to choose, I said, yeah, you have a right to choose, but you also have to face the repercussions of your choice. And anyone that harms an unborn child, it's basically sacrificing it to Moloch. That's what I tell them. And I have no sympathy. I've known a lot of women that have gotten abortions. And some of them are repentant for it, and I treat them with love and caring, and I pray for them to not suffer under it. But those that flaunt it like birth control, I just want to slap them around. I don't, but I restrain myself, especially the cocky ones who say, like, you know, it's my body, I'll do with it what I want. I said, I wonder if your baby had that same attitude. So much for women's rights. What if that child you murdered was a woman? What about that woman's right to choose that was in your womb? And so that's why I don't stand out in front of abortion clinics because I end up really enraging people. I'm more the guy that I'm not going to go there. Let's just say in a different life, if I didn't have a wife and children and had the resources, I would deal with abortion clinics the way I think they should be dealt with. So we go to this prayer meeting, and over the years it's been shrinking. Last year we went to it; it was in a church, and there were about 150 people there. In a room that seated over 500, and it was pathetic. The year before that, they had about 200 people. And every year, the participants that we were talking to that have been doing this is only our second year, have told us that it's been shrinking. So this year, they couldn't find a venue, so they did it in a place called the 210 Cafe in Visalia, California. It's a Christian cafe, you know, coffee shop. They serve sandwiches. It's really nicely done. They got meeting rooms. They've got little prayer cubicles, and there were teenagers in there praying when we were there. And they had a little conference hall, a stage. They actually have Christian music concerts there. They bring in rock bands that are Christian and all that kind of stuff. And so we were in there, and they had this pianist that was singing a song called I'll Stand, and a couple other hymns and stuff. And we prayed. It wasn't – the one last year was a fundraiser. They got people up with testimonies talking about what their missions are and how they do things and what they need and how much money they need and that kind of stuff. But this day, they just said, let's pray for the mothers that make the choice that they won't do that. Let's pray for the babies. Let's pray for the medical personnel. And we would stop and pray 2 to 3 minutes for each one that they announced. And people would read a prayer. You know, they'd have leaders that would pray and stuff. But there were only 75 people in this small room wasn't even filled. And it was terrible. That even though we're making advances in our county here, the people's efforts, that they've gotten rid of just about all the abortion clinics in the area, at least the ones they know about. There are private doctors that still perform, but the abortion mills have disappeared from the area. The participation has sloughed off. It's exactly like what happened when Bush got elected in the militia movement around here. Oh, everything's fine. We don't have to do this anymore. We've got a Christian man in the White House. Yeah, right. Well, they're saying, well, the abortion clinics, you know, they shut their doors in Visalia, Tulare, so now we don't have to do it anymore. But it was really sad because there was, us three, Debbie, so that's four, the pastor, his wife, and his daughter. So that's there were seven of us. Seven of us that went down there, and it was just sad. I mean, there was some nice fellowship. You could feel the Holy Spirit in the room. We were praying for it to stop, and we had hoped that they were going to ask our pastor to get up and speak, but I think they're afraid of him because he would have got up and done some big imprecatory prayer, you know, vengeance of God falling upon the people that do these kind of things and stuff. But we had a good year. I mean, wasn't it last year that Tiller got assassinated? So that was a good year for the unborn, getting rid of Tiller the killer. So there's some stuff. There's some good things happening, but unfortunately, Obamacare is going to pay for abortions unless it gets defeated. So it was sad just to see the turnout. You know, we keep saying that, America's, you know, going in the right direction, at least other patriots I know are, and it's not. It's going in the wrong direction. That doesn't mean we don't still participate and fight, but the signs are there. We're definitely not a blessed nation. But we do have our victories from time to time, and we should praise and thank the Lord for that because the victories belong to Him. And let's not forget, I don't talk about it enough here on this radio show, let's not forget about the problem of abortion, the evil, vile practice of abortion. And so keep that in your prayers. I know you're probably too busy and all that to go out and do stuff, because the people that listen to the show are already actively engaged in the Holy Cause of Liberty. I know that. And I'm not trying to burden you with another cause. That's probably one of the reasons why I don't talk about it that much. But let's not forget about it in the spiritual battle. Let's keep praying for those women that have survived it and that they repent for what they've done. And one of the biggest problems we have in America is that we kill our young. The reason, and this is going to sound racist, but one of the reasons why the white population in America is diminishing is because white women love to abort their babies. White women are like, it's all about career. It's all about the house, the car, the money first. I can't have this baby. It's an inconvenience. So let's pray that that mindset, that Satan doesn't keep getting a toehold on these young women. Let's train our young women to appreciate life. Let's train our young men to be responsible and not take this high-risk behavior which will cause an abortion, because the men are just as guilty as the women, and that gets overlooked a lot. We talk about the women that go and abort their babies. What about the men that were participatory in it? I can tell you that when I was a teenager, I had a girl come to me and said that she was pregnant, and it was my baby, and what we were going to, you know, what should we do about it? And I wasn't even a Christian at 16. What entered my mind was like, well, I guess we're getting married. And she freaked out. She said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to do this. Turned out it wasn't my kid. She ended up having the kid anyway, and it was somebody else's kid. But I thank God that even though I didn't know it, that God was working in my life, and I didn't even enter my mind to kill an unborn baby. I don't know how I could live with that thought if that's what would have happened, not knowing whether it was mine or not, because we didn't know whose it was until later on in the, after the child was born and they did, you know, stuff, blood typing, everything, it worked out, it wasn't mine. But I would have done everything to take care of that child. I love kids. I love children. I'm one of those weird guys that doesn't mind getting down on the floor and playing with the little kids at church. And I have no problem doing that. So let's pray that we train our men to be responsible in those areas. So without further ado, let's get into the regular part of the show. I just wanted to explain why we weren't live on Friday and maybe push you to include that in your prayer lives. Let's see here. Now, I'm going to say a word here that makes usually everybody cringe. Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel. It sounds like a part for your computer and a Christmas hymn, but no, it couldn't be anything further from the truth. Rahm Emanuel is this evil, vile, dual citizen, Israel-United States Mossad agent that used to be, up until recently, with the president every day. He's still close to the president, but he was the man behind the throne. He's the one that wanted to draft all of your children, put them into work camps. He said everybody should have to do 2 years of mandatory service. He took his Israeli fascist Zionist attitude to the White House, and, well, he saw a chance here for himself, rather than being a kingmaker, to start making himself king, and was going to run for mayor of Chicago. He left the Obongo White House, went to Chicago, filed paperwork, and immediately people are saying, what do you mean? You don't even live here. How can you run? Just the audacity of these people, by the way. They just go wherever they want and run for whatever position. Gone are the days that it's the local boys running to represent the local home front. But the Illinois court today threw out his desire to be the mayor. They just took his name off the ballot. Just days ago, Rahm Emanuel seemed to be steamrolling the entire field of candidates for Chicago mayor. He had millions in the bank, a huge lead in the polls, and an abundant opportunity to show off his influence, including meeting with visiting Chinese President Hu. Who? The President of China. But on Monday, the former White House chief of staff was waging a desperate bid to keep his campaign alive after an Illinois appeals court kicked him off the ballot for not meeting the residency requirement. Don't you wish that could have happened to Obama? You don't even live here. The surprise decision threw the race into disarray in less than a month to go. So it's, I love it. There are little victories. He's going to take it to the state appellate court. I'm not going to read the whole article, but just this next paragraph here. Now, Rahm Emanuel's lawyers quickly sought to help from the Illinois Supreme Court, asking for justices to stay the appellate ruling and to hear an appeal as soon as possible. But time was running short, since the Chicago Board of Elections planned to begin printing ballots without Emanuel's name on them within days. I love it. I love it when their own weird, antiquated rules get them. I have no doubt that we will, in the end, prevail in this effort. This is just one turn in the road, Emanuel said, adding that the people of the city of Chicago deserve the right to make the decision on who they want to be their next mayor. Yeah, right. Like any election in Chicago has been legit. Oh, who's calling me? See who it is? It seems like... Answer it. Tell her we're on the air. So it's just strange to me of course, you guys got TV. I don't have TV. I'm just reading print. I'm reading internet stuff. But I think this is a huge blow to the Obongo machine. I really think it is, and I think it's a nice victory for our side. Somebody in Chicago is going to die, though. Somebody's going to be in trouble with this. Whatever election official made this decision better have on bulletproof underwear tonight. You don't anger guys like Rahm Emanuel and get away with it. You just don't. Especially not in Chicago. Did you tell her to call back later?
She realized you went on the air when...
As soon as you answered it. I love you, Anthea, but you got to stop calling when I'm on the air. I've only been doing this for, like, my whole life. You're her whole life. I've been doing this longer than she's been alive. Same time slot, too, usually. But whoever it was in the election office over there, we got to be praying a protection prayer for them. The holes are already dug. The plan's already out. So I couldn't find in this article who the person that actually made the decision was, probably because they wouldn't release it. But I'm sure Rahm Emanuel knows. And I'm sure that threats have already been sent out. He just didn't bribe somebody enough. Somebody was looking for $10,000 and they got a $5,000, you know, stocking stuffer. And I'm looking at this, they've got a video here, I'm not going to play it, but I'm looking at Rahm Emanuel. He just looks like a dirty, rotten gangster, doesn't he, Lou? Look at it. Bad man right there. Remember that face from when the trials come, if you see him hiding around in America. But it's nice to see they can't actually, as the term they use, steamroller. They can't take every election. But then you got to wonder, well, is this part of the plan? Who do they really want to be doing this? Or, you know, what? Why is he doing? Why to him? Or were they just that stupid and over exuberant and overlooked the requirement for residency? Or did they think, well, it didn't matter for Obongo? He's not even a citizen of the United States, and he got to be president. Why? Bless you, Lewis. Why do I have to worry about being a citizen of Chicago? You know, I'm an Israeli. I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm a member of the 51st state. We were watching Bart Simpson yesterday when they went to Israel. And when they got off the plane, it says, "Welcome to Israel. Your tax dollars at work." I thought that was hilarious.
Happiest place on earth.
Yeah, happiest place on earth. They totally slammed Israel in that episode. It was great. Little girl doing Krav Maga. That was the only good part of the whole cartoon.
He was reading the prayers in the wall.
Yeah, he went to the Wailing Wall, and Bart was pulling the prayers out and reading them.
That's going to happen.
And like Rahm did not have anything to do with the impeachment of the former governor of Illinois. Bless you. Everybody's sneezing. Have they released a poison gas in here? Are they coming in for it? Well, if I sneeze next, we're going off the air and going to hide in the bunker. But yeah, it is kind of funny. You know, they impeached the previous governor. This guy's running for mayor, you know, mayor of Chicago. So who knows? The Obongo machine got away with that too. You notice they came out of that whole. I can't even pronounce the guy's name. The former governor. You know, it was all about his seat being sold, but yet none of it stuck to him. None of it stuck to him. Seeing more patterns here, more patterns of corruption. The other thing I discovered the other day, I was looking at, just for fun, I was looking up the stuff on the birth certificate and all the cases that are going to the Supreme Court trying to get, you know, it heard. And do you know, what was the name of the female that just got appointed, the Hispanic Latina? What was her name? Somebody help me in the chat room. I forgot her name. I don't have it in front of me. The newest Supreme Court justice, she was this activist judge, and anyway, before she was Supreme Court judge, her name was all over his defense papers when Obongo was fighting these informational inquiries. The woman who was filing them was her. It's because she shot down dozens of these inquiries to see his birth certificate. She gets rewarded with becoming a Supreme Court judge. And I posted them on Facebook. I'm like, does anybody see anything wrong with this papering? And like two people said, hey, look, isn't that lady Supreme Court justice now? And a year before, she was representing him in these cases. It just stinks to high heaven. Let's see. I see freedom. Total arrogance. Is it the lizard-eyed son of Zionist militant that killed Palestinian Christians for a living? Yeah. Yeah, you look at him, it's just disgusting. It's just... I forgot who IC Freedom is. I'm trying to remember as we transferred over from you broadcast what everybody's names are. I have to get used to it here. But they continue to do what they do. And every once in a while they trip up and it's fun to watch. And it shows one thing. They're not infallible. If even their own system screws up on them, that proves that they're not perfect and that they can be defeated, right? So all you people who keep telling me that it's all over, there's nothing we can do, they're inhuman, they're unstoppable, there's nothing we can do, we've got to fight everything, or we can't fight anything, sorry, I was reading something when I said that, and it's not true. They're human, they're flesh and blood, they bleed. Sure, they work for Satan. Satan's not infallible either, he's not perfect, he's not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent, he can't be everywhere at once. Oh, man. This is the thing that I wanted to... let's see if I can find the documents for this. Because I wanted to talk about how much money... let's see what happens here if this loads. Lately, I've been noticing more and more on Facebook. And I hate to talk about Facebook because I don't want to promote Facebook here. Although it's a good place to disseminate information. And I use it. A huge growth in what I just call Fabian Socialist Nazism on there. And people go, you can't combine those things. They're not the same. And yeah, they are. They are to me. Hitler and Stalin were just two sides of the same evil coin. They were co-conspirators in the same vile, nasty plan to enslave the world. All tools of Satan. But I'm seeing more and more people on Facebook that are of the Nazi flavor. National socialist. Just nationalist, they use the term. And when you confront them about... when you confront them about what they're doing, they don't even have an understanding or... Luke, how do I make these letters bigger so I can see? I can't read this article because it's too small for my old eyes. Okay, a little bit bigger. That's good right there. Thank you. And then I can just scroll over here.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing that they seem to be more and more of them. They're popping up everywhere. And I'm not saying they're not real. But something's behind this. It's not just a sudden, you know, angst of white people thinking, well, the only answer is to become fascist. Because some of these people, when you argue with them, there's no depth to it. They don't know. They're just saying, oh, yeah, Hitler had the solution. Oh, I'm an Odinist. Oh, I believe in Kabbalism. And they're mixing all these things together that don't make sense. Or Hinduism. Some of them are putting Hinduism together. With you know, and I know Hitler was a what's the word, occultic? Eastern mysticism. Neo-Amish. Was another one. And they're coming out of the woodwork in a... Yeah, well, that's Christian identity stuff. But I'm talking about all this stuff that they're combining together and with swastikas. And the only hope for white... Yeah, Taoism. The only hope for white America is that we all become Nazis, we worship the cult of Hitler, and we just make a white national, you know, state. And a lot of weak-minded people are going to go, wow, that's great. You know, yeah, the minorities are the whole problem. No, the minorities aren't the problem. Evil is the problem. It doesn't matter what color they are. But I'm just seeing a lot of them. And maybe now that I'm getting more recognition and more listeners and more input, they're starting to come after me. And they're attacking me. First, they try to be my friends. And then they try to sell me on some vile line, you know, of white supremacy or just a white homeland. Or even some of them go right out and just say genocide of the non-white races or we're not going to survive. And they have a lot of good evidence. They show the crime rate of black-on-white crime and all that stuff. And it's for a non-thinking person, it's very easy to buy into that and go, oh. And then because, you know, I'm an anti-Zionist, they think they've got an ally. I said, well, I don't like Zionists just as much as I don't like Nazis. A fascist is a fascist is a fascist. I don't care what kind of clothes they wear or what symbolism they use behind fascism. Total control of the state over industry, schools, and religion, and culture, sociology, and everything. I don't care if you call it communism, socialism, or fascism. I don't want it. Liberty is liberty is liberty. That's what I want. So once they find out that I'm not going to buy into them, they fight with me, they argue with me, they try to... I've been called a Fed 3 or 4 times this week. A Fed that I've been... What was the one... What was that idiot on YouTube, True Sons of Liberty?
Yeah.
He was saying I was a Zog servant, and he was saying that Liberty Tree Radio, that Mark Kornke was a Zog agent, all this stuff, because I refuse to acknowledge his stupidity. And so then they get mad because they can't use this podium, you know, come on and call in and do
bad
stuff.
Bad video editing skills, too.
Huh?
Bad video editing.
Yeah, he was horrible at video editing. But in all honesty, if I find some young guy or young girl that's involved in it, I do spend time with them and try and show them, you know, hey, well, where in the Bible does it say that? You know, you can't say that black people are the descendant of Cain because everybody was wiped out during the flood and only Noah was there. You know, stuff like that. And then they're gonna, if they go, huh, well, that makes sense, then I continue it. But if they get all mad and angry and, oh, you're just a Jew, I don't listen to them. But here's what's weird is I found this article when I was thinking about where are these people coming from? How are they doing it? And I actually think, and I never would have said this before, but I think that the New World Order folks are dumping tons of money into these people. I think somebody's training them. Somebody's recruiting them and unleashing them. Not every one of them is receiving a paycheck. But some of them are growing them somewhere. Nobody just suddenly wakes up one morning and goes, yeah, I want to be a Nazi. Somebody has to cultivate the stupidity, ignorance, or fear in them to make them feel that way. So there's something going on out there. And when we come back, we're getting ready for a break here. But I found an article in the Associated Press talking about just how much money is being dumped into propaganda on the internet and in television and stuff by the federal government now. And something's going on. They're trying to create a culture war. I really believe it. And not a race war. I used to say race war. Now it's a culture war. And we'll be back after the break. This is Dutch Jones on Liberty Tree Radio and on Stronghold Radio Network. Thank you.
Nation is floundering in a sea of phony debt, and your cities are seething with domestic violence, and you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government. Will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. On the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, through force they will take our guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims, don't be fooled by your TV. There to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. They're unloading shipments every day.
martial law, attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? We're gonna fight the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops will have to pay. Don't you think those light bright blue helmets sure make darn good targets? Up, two, three, four, they send out the troop boats on the bay.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Okay, we're back, and we've got new bumper music, mellower music, professionally made bumper music. We're not going to use Lou banging on the bongos anymore for bumper music. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on the Liberty Tree Radio Network, and we're also on the, what do we call ourselves, the Stronghold Radio Network here from Cahuilla, California, and we do a two-hour show Monday through Friday. If you're joining us, this is our last half hour live. It is the, I'm trying to read this here, what's today, the 24th? Of January 2011. It is 6:32 p.m. and we're discussing, well, among other things, how the enemy uses just about anything to co-opt us. And lately I've been noticing a rise in fascism on the internet, a rise in outright Nazism, and they're putting it all together, right? We even had a guy today that we had to get rid of off, you know, just block him. I'm going to turn the music down there gently and fade and do a nice little transition. Oh, that's professional sounding. Oh, that sounds like commercial radio. What was it? Jaeger? What was his name? Jaeger or something like that? Chuck?
Not Chuck. Jaeger. Oscar
Jaeger.
Yeah.
Oscar Jaeger, if you're out there, you suck! He had a Confederate flag and he was a Nazi. So I saw the Confederate flag, so I said, yeah, I'll engage this guy.
That's the guy that's Eastern mysticism.
Eastern mysticism and Nazi, and he just got irate because I was posting all this anti-Fabian socialist stuff, and then I combined Hitler in it, and he's like, oh, no, who was the only man that stood up for the communists and all this stuff?
No, he didn't.
And so I started doing some research today, and I found, where'd it go, this article here in Associated Press. It's an old article. It's from the 5th of February 2 years ago, 2009. But this kind of shows you where they were heading back then. And it just, you know, you dig in the archives, you find stuff, and you're kind of like, well, it didn't, you know, back then, okay, that's kind of nice, they're doing it. But as it fights two wars, the Pentagon is steadily and dramatically increasing the money it spends to win what it calls the human terrain or world of public opinion. In the process, it is raising concerns of spreading propaganda at home in violation of federal law. It's illegal for the Defense Department to act within our borders. It's, I don't know the exact law. I don't think it's part of posse comitatus, but they're not allowed to do that. They're a separate branch of government. They're supposed to stay on their own. Now, Associated Press investigation found that over the past 5 years, the money the military spends on winning hearts and minds at home and abroad has grown by 63% to at least $4.7 billion per year. That's for 2009. According to the Department of Defense budgets and other documents, that's almost as much as it spends on body armor for troops in Iraq and Afghanistan between the years of 2004 to 2006. This year, the Pentagon will employ 27,000 people for advertising and public relations, almost as many as the 30,000 person workforce for the entire State Department. So they're going to have their own little State Department that does nothing but disseminate propaganda, disseminate counter-propaganda efforts. I mean, we probably haven't seen anything like this since the Vietnam conflict. We have such a massive apparatus selling the military to us, it's become hard to ask questions about whether this is too much money or if it's bloated, says Sheldon Rampton, research director for the Committee on Media and Democracy, which tracks the military's media operations. As the war has become less popular, they have felt they need to respond to that more. Now, one of the problems that the Defense Department has had, now I read you that part just to show you what they did in 2009. They upped the money to an outrageous amount of $4.7 billion to try and bend the minds of the American people. Well, they've done the troop removal from Iraq. They've got 30 to 40,000 troops there. There's under 70,000 troops in Afghanistan. They want to advance into Iran. They want to do all of these other things, but they just can't sell it. So what do? They turn to a term that they created called domestically grown terrorism. And as far as I can tell, other than the shooter in Texas and several failed attempts, there hasn't been a huge onslaught here in America yet. Don't get me wrong, I think it's coming. But they want people to think there's a threat in America, so they couldn't get the Muslims to do it. They've been rattling that and smacking that hornet's nest. So then they switched to domestic terrorism, meaning, you know, Billy Bob's doing things they don't want him to do. But that didn't really take off either. Go all the way back to the Oklahoma City bombing. There wasn't this rash of militias blowing anything up. You know, it just didn't happen. You know, Ruby Ridge and Waco didn't light the fuse for some reason. And I still think the McVeigh thing was a government operation. So, you know, there. Get your cards and letters going. Call me an idiot if you want. But I don't think McVeigh had anything to do with the militia movement. I think he was a stooge. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that tangent. I want to stick to this thought. And I'm going to do that because usually I go off on tangents. They've been shaking the tree to see where people fall out. And it hasn't worked either. They made a few arrests here and there. They've killed father and son. I think his name was Kane. For doing stuff, and it just hasn't, they haven't been able to ignite it on their terms. They do the Houtari thing, didn't ignite it because wiser heads prevailed. So now I'm seeing this presence of just these antagonistic, violent, vile people claiming to be American patriots on Facebook. Now, I'm only on Facebook. I don't do MySpace or anything like that. I don't do the Twitter or whatever they call it. I'm not under that. I barely do Facebook, but it's the easiest one for me to use. But it's been huge lately. And the friend requests are just, oh, we like your show. We like what you're doing. I've had people say, we'll give you $1,000 a month if you talk about, you know, creating a new genocide. You know, we've got to kill all the Jews and all the non-whites. And the minute I say something like that and endorse that, they're going to come kick in my door, label me a domestic terrorist, and put me in a hole. One, I don't believe that that's the answer. And two, I'm not that stupid to have people buy me off. It's not about the money. Yes, I bug you guys all the time to donate because we need to keep stuff up, but I'll take your money because you're wholesome, good people. But I don't want somebody coming in here and waving a bunch of money in front of my face thinking they can buy me. So now they're starting to hate me on Facebook because they're seeing after about 6 months, I'm not going to bend to that doctrine. And I call them on it. I put stuff up like I would kill a Nazi just as soon as I would kill a communist or a Muslim or a French guy with a blue beanie on. Period. They are just as much the enemy as the UN or the New World Order. They are the New World Order. Are we okay?
Yeah.
I saw you running for something there. So we've got to keep our eyes open to this. They're building for something. They're spending tons of money. I found a video today, and I don't want to play the video audio because, I mean, I can just tell you what the guy said. It wasn't like he was a news guy or anything. It was just a guy like me screaming in the wilderness. That the FBI and everybody else is doing the same thing. They've increased their propaganda budgets. They've increased their money for informants. And we've seen the effect here. We've had Nazis come up here and try to sell us all kinds of garbage, and we just laugh at them and tell them to go away, and then they get mad and never come back. We've seen the results of it firsthand. I've had guys from Klan groups that, and I do support some Klan groups, the True Heritage, non-hate, you know, stuff. To Nazis, outright Nazis come here and say, hey, you know, we really like your show. We'd like to fund you. And I'm like, no. It's about patriotic Christianity, America's providential history, God-given liberty, and that's it. It's not about somebody's doctrine, political doctrine. If you'll notice, I kind of straddle both things. I don't like Bush and I don't like Clinton. You can't put me in a political camp because I judge each person by their fruit. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not a white pride guy, nor an anti-Semite. I don't love Israel, but I don't hate Jews. But it's alarming me and frightening me, yes, I'll use the word frightening, to see the increase here, even in the last few days. They're going nuts out there trying to create the next Timothy McVeigh. And very few people are biting on it. This Loeffner guy, I believe that was part of that. But it blew up in their face because it's turning out he's a leftist dweeb. He had a satanic Kabbalist shrine in his backyard. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's just, I don't know. Maybe God is stepping in and thwarting their plans. Today when they moved Loeffner, I thought we were going to see our Jack Ruby moment, but we didn't. I actually was waiting all morning to find out that some really angry somebody shot him, probably somebody from a Tea Party, you know, and then, you know, would rot in jail and die of cancer just like Jack Ruby did. They're doing everything they can, and it's not working to their advantage, and I like that. We cannot control the tempo of the battle. Don't let them make you fire the first shot unless it is a righteous first shot. We can do preemptive strikes. We can, but not on their terms. And that's what they're doing. And they're trying to create this cadre of ugly, nasty, vile-looking people so that they can say, look, they're part of the Patriot movement. This guy's got swastikas all over his Facebook page. Oh, look at this Dutch Jones guy. He's friends with all these Nazi guys. He talks to them. No, I don't talk to him. I yell at him. And people will, and I've noticed this thing on Facebook too. They'll say, oh, I love your show. It's wonderful. And, you know, I'd like to be your friend. You check them out. They got a Confederate flag. They got some patriotic stuff. They got some quotes. And you add them. Then 3 months later, you go back and look, and it's swastikas. It's National Socialist Front. It's Northwestern Front. It's all this stuff. Like, I had these people, they want to create a white nation in Oregon or whatever. And I said, look, you know, I think you have a right to do that, but I, you know, that's not something I condone. I want to see a Christian separatist, and I don't care what color. Well, somebody said, did somebody write? It was like, this guy would let a nigger in the foxhole next to him rather than one of us join his militia. I'm like, yeah, if he's a Christian. And I don't normally use the N-word, but I wanted to tell you how they act when I make them mad.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, it's exactly what this guy said on somebody else's thing, because I refuse to accept his political paradigm as correct, and I wouldn't allow him to post on my page. I kept deleting it. I said, same thing on our YouTube outlet. We've got this moron from, I don't even know what he calls himself, Children of Satan, True Sons of Liberty. A guy's a maniac. I looked up his name once, and he's completely nuts. He thinks he's the head of the International Space Agency.
And he's on welfare.
And it turns out he's on welfare. You guys forget, I used to be a private investigator. And I look people up when they threaten me, and I check them out. So to see if they're a viable threat. If they're a viable threat, I take steps, and I call people in your area. And there have been people who have threatened me on this radio show, and they get a knock on the door by five or six of my cohorts. We actually remember we had, and our tree got shook long before we had a really big audience. We had this guy from the Rogue Eternal National Militia or whatever. They're a cyber militia. I don't like them. I don't know if anybody on Liberty Tree Radio knows any of them, but the ones I met didn't like. There's this guy named Irish, and he had his own radio show, and he came on our radio show, and he kept threatening me and all this stuff, and saying he was going to shut me down, and that he'd come on and harass people in the chat room, so I checked him out. Turns out he was a deputy sheriff from upstate New York. His wife was a U.S. Marshal, and I even downloaded, I have access to things. When you're a private investigator, you have access to things. I found his pay stubs. I found the budget where him, you know, where he was paid, where he got out of the academy, and he was immediately picked up to do this operation, where he got on the cyber world and did stuff, because he fit the profile. So what I did is I put everything in a packet. I got pictures of his vehicles, I got pictures of his house. I sent it all to him, and said, you need to shut your mouth and stop harassing us. Well, then I get this little thing, not a court order, but the next best thing, saying a cease and desist order from the county there, saying that I can't contact him anymore. It'll be considered harassment and all this. Yeah, it was a restraining order, the early part of a restraining order. So I knew he was a government employee. So then I turned all that stuff over to the RENM or whatever, and they said they dealt with him, and they knew, and they had suspicions. I don't know. And in their defense, you know, he may not represent them. But then it was funny. I got a little bit more harassment from him. So I just sent two guys to his door that I knew in upstate New York. And And they went to his door, said, we know who you are, we know what you're doing, you need to leave Mr. Jones alone. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He's not violating the restraining order, because our names weren't on it. And you need to stop talking about him. And the guy, I never heard from the guy again. I even sent stuff to his wife's work. She was a U.S. Marshal, and I sent some paperwork to her work via a fax number I had saying, you know, why are you letting your husband do this? And they're out there. So I've been victimized by it for a long time, but I'm seeing an increase in it. And they're going to continue to try and reach out. And if they're reaching out to something as small as me, as small as the effort that we people in this room put together, we need to understand just how serious they are. Because let's be honest with you, how many people do I affect? A couple dozen? You know, judging by the donations we get and how much email I get steadily, it may be 200 people listen to me a week, unique people, and maybe two dozen people are steady listeners. I'm going to be honest. It's wonderful, and I accept every one of them is great. You know, I don't have any delusions here. I know that we have the potential to have 6,000 or 7,000 people a month hear us. But they come and go. They're drive-by listeners. They're not really buying into what we're putting out. So if they've got to know that I have that small of an effect, because I'm not really, you know, I'm no Mark Kornke. So if they're paying that kind of attention to me, that should have us all scared, because I'm a nobody. I'm just a little tiny squeaky voice. And if they're sending people in a cyber move to try and intimidate, influence, or taint what we're doing here because I would befriend them. Because ultimately, that's all they're going to do. They're going to say, if eventually when they decide to come after me, they're going to say, well, look, you have associations with the SWA party in Europe. You're friends with all these Klan groups. You're friends with these National Socialist White People's Party. And I can say, no. Let the record show that I called them all faggots, which I did today, Nazi fags. And that Hitler was a faggot. He was a sodomite. His name was like Grubelbecker or whatever. I do my research. I'm a lot smarter than I sound. I'm not always good at conveying my intelligence.
That's what the problem is. People don't want to research
anything. Well, nobody researches anything. So you've got to arm yourselves against these people. And if you're on Facebook or any of these other, what do they call them, social networking sites,
yeah,
go through your friends list. Look who's there. Look who's feeding you information. Click on the things they have on their pages. See where they go. Do some creative investigation. Find out if they're real or not. See if there's any depth to their personality. You know, they could have one guy doing 80 or 90 different personalities online trying to reach you to see which one they can taint you with. Think about it. Okay, let's look at it from the other side of the coin. Every one of these ridiculous near misses that they have with Muslims, how have they all started? 90% of them be undercover FBI contact instigated them into an action. If they're going to do it to them, they're going to do it to us. If they're going to do it to Muslims to trigger them into act, even with bat, you know, fake explosives like the one during the Christmas tree lighting one, they're doing the same thing to us, folks. The difference is we're not as dumb as the Muslims, or as anxious as the Muslims, maybe. I shouldn't say dumb, because I don't want to diminish our enemy, but we're not gonna bite on a lot of that stuff. They're going to find the random guy like Loeffner that is. Don't let him push your buttons. Don't let him come after you. Don't give him a toehold. That's a biblical term. Satan can get a toehold, a foothold, an ankle hold. And the more he grips on you, the harder it is to shake it off, right? Well, the government's just like Satan. They function the same way. They're not all powerful. They're not all present, just like Satan. They're out to do evil, just like Satan. Their intentions are bad, just like Satan. They're very selfish, just like Satan. They're enemies of God Almighty, just like Satan. Government is Satan. Not all government, but this one is. Our government used to be righteous. Civil government is ordained by God, and therefore we must obey just magistrates. But in this case, they're being adversarial towards us. And I know better hosts than I on Liberty Tree Radio can explain this much better and probably know the game better than I do. But I'm sharing this with you because I don't want to see any one of you fall victim to this. It's just been a heavy last 10 days or so that we've just been getting a lot of it on Facebook. And it kind of came to a peak the last couple of days because I put my foot down and said, that's it, you're all done. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to delete you. And I'm going to tell everybody what you are. I've got one. The last one now is this guy, Bravo Victor. Neo-fascist, fat, pudgy, nerdy type that likes to threaten me. anybody who makes physical threats on the computer is a loser. You know, unless you're going to come knock on my door, don't even waste your time making a physical threat against me. Come onto my property and do something so that I can shoot you and bury you. That's my threat back at you. Don't be stupid and wait, because I just block you. I block this guy, Bravo Victor. His real name starts with a B and a V. He's bugged me for like a year, and he keeps changing his profile name so that I don't notice it. And he just attacks every single thing I post, hoping I'll post something that is actionable by law enforcement, like I would make a threat. No, I don't make threats. I make promises that if you come here to hurt me, you're going to get shot. That's it. I follow the law. Even as corrupt as it is, I follow the law, and I use deadly force in accordance with the law. I'm not going to threaten to go kick somebody's butt or something. That's just ridiculous. It's stupid. I'll sue you. I'll send people to tell you that if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to sue you and expose you for what you are, because that's even worse. Some of these people have got nothing.
You're so sued, kid.
Minuteman is saying, from what you're saying, is it worth being on Facebook? I would say yes. It's about dominion. It's about taking control. Because I've got over 700 friends now, and all of them are either neutral or good patriotic people. And there may be a couple of Nazis still in there that haven't, you know, hatched yet. You know, they haven't been launched against us. But I've got Mary on there. There's Mike. There's so many good people on there that I reach. And a lot of our listeners come from Facebook. They don't listen to it live for some reason, probably because of the time zone stuff. But because we embed the player on there every day, people are listening to it there. And I would venture to say, and Olima, I don't know if Olima can check this out, but a lot of our podcast playbacks, I would say, come through Facebook because I post the podcast links on Facebook as well. And it's been a great tool. I get all my information that I read during the day. I post it on Facebook and spread it out that way. And some things people ignore, other things people jump all over and go nuts with and making comments and things. But just like, you know, most things, not everything, but most things, we as Christian warriors can wade into them and have some good. I mean, like I said, I use the example. I wouldn't tell you to go start a Christian pornography business. I mean, there are just some things that are just so vile and so evil they're not worth going into. You don't open a Christian liquor store. You don't become a Christian crack dealer. You know, it just doesn't make sense. No, you can't be a crack dealer. I know you need a job, but Stacy wants to be it. You'll be like a nice crack dealer. It'll be like, hey, you want to buy some crack? Get like a gun. Keep it hidden. Well, you already have a gun, but yeah, so... So, yeah, I do use Facebook. The very reason that we don't have control of the media is because early on Christians said, oh, it's so vile and nasty, we shouldn't get involved in that. Was it Billy Graham the pastor was talking about Sunday?
Yeah.
That back in the 60s he gave this sermon called that people have to go forth and be bold and take control of America as Christians, and that there are too many yellow Christians out there. And then he got burned by Nixon. He backed Nixon. He got in there and he got wined and dined, as it was discovered. And he backed Nixon. And then it turned out Nixon was not a Christian. You know, he's supposed to be like an Amish or Quaker guy. But when Quaker. And then when the White House tapes came out, and you heard that guy swearing, N-word this, F-word that, C-word, and this guy, you know, had backed him. He backed away and told Christians not to get involved in politics anymore, and that was wrong. Had we not abandoned politics, this nation wouldn't be as bad as it is. Period. If God calls you to witness on Facebook, do it. But not everybody can do it. Most people don't have the time. I'm telling you, I don't know. In fact, I have to get to the point where sometimes I just unplug my computer, and I say, when the battery goes dead, I'm done, and then I go do something else. Because there's just so much on the internet to distract you. There's so much information. I mean, today we must have looked up 8 different things just for fun. Oh, we need to look this up. We need to look that up. Oh, let's see what this is. Let's see who that is. And it does add to the show. For every hour of the show, I probably do 2 or 3 hours of research. I know it may not sound like that. But this stuff I normally can't talk off the top of my head with this amount of stuff. Usually you'd be surprised at church. I just shut up and listen to everybody and I go, huh, that'd be good for the show. Yeah, I should use that for the show. Today people sent me a bunch of stuff and I was like, wow, I'm going to use that on the show. And I did. And I share it with you. So because you people have productive lives, you have jobs, families that require, you know, soccer, football, all that kind of stuff, guys like me, who we're all together in one little group, we don't have any extracurricular activities. This is our extracurricular activity. I can go through the internet, gather information from Facebook, and then share it with you. Like, we're going to talk to a Klan guy later this week. Our friend Frank Ancona, if you remember last year, he's the guy that just totally turned off Nicholas Arthur and got him all mad at me and caused me to quit First Amendment Radio because he was being a little dictator. And he finally, his case is going to the Supreme Court on being able to fly the Confederate flag in state parks in Missouri.
Yeah.
And they're saying that he can't fly because it's politically inaccurate, it's historically inaccurate to that area, that nobody ever flew that flag there.
Yeah.
And it's not even a Klan rally. He's just flying it for Southern Heritage. It was a family barbecue.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And we're going to talk in relation to that. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the state of Virginia is banning all Confederate flags from state parks, state Civil War memorials, all kinds of nasty stuff that's happening. You can't deny history and cover it up. That's the work of fascism. That's fascism when they try and destroy history and try and make lies. Right or wrong, history is what it is. There are some cold, hard facts, and the fact of it is that flag flew over the Confederacy. Taking it away doesn't change anything. But it covers up truth. And that is evil. And that's one way I test people. If they lie about things that are obviously true, then I want nothing to do with them. I've got a dear old friend that I grew up with that I've just recontacted, a gentleman by the name of Tony Hayden. He's an author. He writes some awesome books. They're like mercenary-style books. Turns out he's a lefty.
Oh.
Read his books, you'd think he was right-wing, you know. We grew up, we joined the military together. We played Army together as kids. We did all this stuff together. And he ended up going left, and I went right. He's an atheist. He hates this stuff. But I love the guy like a brother, so I tolerate him. He's not a Nazi. He's a libtard, but he's not a Nazi. And I'm hoping that just by sharing stuff with him on Facebook, he'll see the light. Because that's what happened to me. I saw the light. People didn't give up on me. But the minute somebody slaps a swastika on, maybe it's time to write them off. Share with them a few verbal attempts, and if they're just Zeke Heil, Zeke Heil. Oh, you do not know what you are saying. You show them the truth, you know. You show them the truth a few times, then it doesn't bear fruit. Walk away from them. Because there's a pretty good chance, unless you've known them your whole life, they're an operative, and they're there to taint you. Whether they know it or not, they may be being handled by somebody else to taint the Liberty Pool. What you got is these Nazis peeing in the Liberty Pool, and we've got to stop it. We can't let them do it. We cannot let the Hitler cult take over this movement. We cannot let hatred. There's a difference between me hating my enemy and fighting him and hating my enemy and wanting to burn his women and children alive and wipe them off the face of the earth. God tells me to do it, yeah. That's not the kind of hate we're talking about. We're talking about a righteous hate versus an unrighteous hate. And that's not what this show is about. And Warland says the past isn't what it used to be. My favorite line is, the older I get, the better I was. I've been doing that a lot this week, looking at old pictures of me on the internet, going, hey, look at me. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Ustream for being good and wholesome and staying up. I don't know if they're wholesome or not. For all I know, they're running porn too somewhere, but they seem to be working out for us. It seems to be a good alternative. Remember, we need your financial and spiritual support. Every little bit helps. If everybody who hears my voice just sends $5 or $10, we'll make it. We'll barely make it, but we'll make it. If everybody who hears my voice sends $25, we'll be able to get a transmitter sent out to Scotty. We've got one in a box, but we need money to ship it. So keep praying for us, of course. And when you can, send a few bucks. Send a few bucks to Liberty Tree Radio. It's all links in a chain that need to be oiled and maintained. So remember, and I'm going to see if I can get this right this time. I've been munching this. The sword is heavy. The battle is hard. But victory belongs to the Lord, not a demigod, not a dictator, not a self-appointed God on earth, to God himself, Jesus Christ. No king but King Jesus. And I want to thank you all for everything you do in the holy cause of liberty. And don't forget to pray for the right to life, folks. It's pathetic that we only had 75 people show up to that prayer rally. And try and organize one in your area if you can. If not, just pray for them. We'll be back tomorrow with Code 20 in the hour that we're in now, and we'll do a little bit about, we're going to talk about Romans 13 tomorrow. I promised Stacy we'd let her talk about that on the air. So tomorrow in the first hour, we're going to talk about Romans 13. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. God bless you all.
Schweinhund?
Who are you calling Schweinhund?
I mean, who are you calling Schweinhund?
You Schweinhund.
Aufmerken da drinnen. Schnell, Juda.